Accession number 27338, Reel 3.
This is the second reel of a taped interview with Joan Dowson in her home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 15th of the 5th, 2004, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Joan, you were talking about the concert, and I'm interested to talk a little bit more about that. And you mentioned just off air that you thought the ship was a luxury ship. Can we talk about what was involved in rehearsing for the ballet that you mentioned?
Well, we've had some very talented artists on board who are in control of the ballet, and I was put as ballet mistress. So I organised a ballet which included the Navy, Army and Air Force. And when the sailor's hornpipe and something about a soldier, and then the Air Force, and of course we waved our arms, and like the Air Force used to salute, exaggerated, we thought, and that always caused a bit of a laugh. But the men were so appreciative, and we did it for 5 nights, I think.
You mentioned in your diary that there was a Hungarian dance. What were some of the other dances that you performed?
Well, I asked to perform a Hungarian dance. I had my costume down in the bowels of the ship, and it took quite a while to get the few costumes I had out.
You mentioned, obviously, the performance and it being well received. Presumably the men enjoyed the experience of seeing women dancing, given that they had wives and girlfriends and that sort of thing at home.
Well, the ballet only was part of the concert. We had a girl who sang beautifully, and a lot of the men, they put on skits and a variety of, for the program, of course. The ballet was just part of it.
What were other acts throughout the concert?
Oh, no.
Sorry, you were going to mention something about a program to do with the concert.
Well, of course, they were very top artists, so we picked out, selected. And the boys really did enjoy it because it was some light entertainment when they were all on edge and wondering what was going to happen and where we were going, because we didn't know our destination.
You mentioned that you have a program, and maybe we can get that copied and put in with the interview.
Yes, I've got them.
What you mentioned, the situation on board ship. How would you have rated morale on board ship? Heading off to, you, and presumably you weren't looking at the idea of going away on holiday, you were going away to fight a war. How was morale on board ship?
I think it was very tense because we were on alert, blacked out of course, and we were just comprehensive, but we were all together, so we felt we were doing the right thing. Lucky to be enlisted and be sent away.
Your average day sounds rather interesting, looking at the brief glance I've had at your diary. It doesn't sound much like you're heading off towards a war.
I think you'll find that all diaries and reports emphasise the light side of war, and the same with the men. They never discussed the war and their feelings openly like they do now.
The sort of stiff upper lip.
Yes.
Attitude. But you mentioned here that you go to cocktail parties, and all sorts of other things. What were some of the most enjoyable things that you were to do on board ship, you can recall?
Well, they were special, of course, and only lasted for about an hour. The rest of the time you were on. I was lucky that I'd been a typist so that I could help when I wasn't doing ballet work in the office. But all the rest were detailed to nursing in the hospital on the ship.
What were some of the duties that you were involved with on board in relation to typing in the office?
Look, I don't remember.
People talk of there actually being a paper produced on board ship. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do, and I've got copies of a lot of them.
What?
They had pieces of news and a few funny things about what was going on the ship. And the news was very welcome because we were cut off from any form of news for quite a long time.
Some of the things that you mentioned are men playing two up. How was that seen?
Well, you felt sorry for them because they were so cramped and it was so hot. But the officers mostly had to leave them alone and not be too severe on them because the time was very tense.
Did you ever go down to see the men in their quarters?
No.
So your work on board ship was clerical as opposed to what would later be nursing assistants and being a VA?
Yes, because I was in the ballet and having rehearsals, I was lucky to get out of nursing.
In relation to being on board ship, you mentioned going for a swim in the pool.
Now, I really can't remember that, but that'd be, we were allowed in for 1 hour or something like that. But everything that was enjoyable, you sort of wrote home about.
You mentioned that a very sort of glamorous pool, a glorious pool, and the ship, very luxurious.
Well, it was the most beautiful ship, and they had a lovely ballroom where there were lights all around the edge of the floor, and you could see what a wonderful place it was when it was in peacetime. But you couldn't disguise, you know, how beautiful it was.
In relation to being on board this ship, and although you are going away to war and there is a certain amount of tension in the air, there is it sounds to me as though people are almost having a paid holiday in some respects. And on board this luxury liner, in normal circumstances, it would possibly be the ideal place for a sort of romance to blossom and that sort of thing. Was there ever any of that sort of interaction with the men allowed?
We were allowed to mix things like a cocktail party, but they took up very little time on the trip. And they were mostly, we'd meet someone from our own state, and they were boys we knew.
What were the rules and regulations in relation to interacting with the men on board ship that you can recall?
Well, I don't think we needed rules and regulations. We just were all very sober in our actions in those days. And the boys respected us, so we never heard of terrible things like rape or anything.
I wasn't suggesting that there would be anything quite so drastic, but I'm interested to know, was there anyone that was interested in you, for instance, on board ship that you could tell us about?
Oh, I had a few special friends, and if they could, they'd make it an opportunity to see you.
Did anyone ever sort of contemplate the idea of marriage at this time?
Oh, yes. They forget, they see a few women and they forget that they've got girlfriends at home, but we didn't.
You've been called on the way, brazen hussies and that sort of thing, as I understand.
Oh, no, that people. Was in the march through Perth.
In the march through Perth.
Only one person.
Obviously, you were all getting on very well on the way to your destination, but you didn't know where you were going. How did that make things awkward for people? They didn't ever really know when, where, or what was really going on.
Well, I think we just did our duty and worried, you know, that that was the situation. We didn't know where we were going. And it wasn't any use worrying about it because we wouldn't find out until they'd due to let us know.
When was it then that, you mean, we were talking of November of 1941. What do you recall of places that you were to go on the way to your destination? Did you stop, for instance, at Colombo, for instance?
We were steaming ahead. We were doing the maximum speed for the ship because that they felt that was a security against being torpedoed. And suddenly we'd sort of turned direction and turned in somewhere to refuel, but none of us knew where it was.
What were some of the precautions that you can recall? You mentioned blackouts, but were there drills and that sort of thing that you had to undertake?
Yes, we had to do gas drill. I mean, we had to put on our gas life jackets and gas masks and assembled down the bowels of the ship. And of course, it was very cramped and very terrifying. It was. You feel you'd rather be up on deck than if the ship went down. You'd rather be up on deck than down in the bowels of the ship, because it's a huge ship, 84,000 tons.
Lifeboat drill, anything like that?
Yes, we had that.
What did that involve?
Look, I don't remember.
And you mentioned, obviously, gas mask drill and blackout. Mm. What were some of the recollections you can recall of actions at sea? For instance, you mentioned seeing planes dropping flares. Where would that have been?
I don't remember that. It's only my diary that I made that note. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're getting closer to a war situation, how did that change attitude and thought on board ship?
It didn't change at all. We just knew that we were destined for some foreign overseas posting. I think we felt that the boys had gone to the Middle East, that it would be very likely that perhaps we would go there.
Well, let's talk then about arriving and what that was like. You mention in your diary Port Tewfik.
Hmm.
What date was that you wrote the entry?
I'll have to look it up so we arrive.
Sorry, you have an entry that you want to read to us from the 22nd of November, 1941.
Well, I've got here Ville at 4:30, breakfast and 6 o'clock parade. And between 7 and 8, we collected our bags and left the ship. 6 o'clock in a tug. Then we arrived in Port Tewfik and had to take. Left by train 12:30 and stopped at Ishmaelia. changed into Palestine railways, crossed the Suez by thousands of Bedouins in ruri coloured robes and all dirty and all thumbs up sign. Girls disembarking after us had an air raid scare and were an hour and a half held back.
What was it like to finally be at your destination, a foreign land that you've never seen before? You've got Bedouins. You're crossing the sewers by punt. What was that all like?
Well, when we first arrived, of course, they were so anxious to come and take our baggage, and we thought, oh, this was a lovely welcome. But, of course, they were all on bakshish then, and we didn't have any money of their money. So that was the first revelation we had.
What were your initial impressions of the place? Slightly different to Perth, I would have thought.
Yes, I think I mentioned that they were, it seemed dirty. But then once we got into the train, we didn't notice it, of course.
The sight, the sounds, the smells of this strange land. What do you recall of the atmosphere of the place?
Well, it's hard to think because it was an entirely different type of country from what we'd been used to. So we just took whatever we saw for granted. And we were very tired. We went to bed on arrival and slept the rest of the day.
No.
I wouldn't know.
Did you know where you were to go?
No, but we arrived at Gaza and we were welcomed there by the sisters. And I think the boys must have known we were coming because we heard this call out every year. You'll be sorry, of course.
Who was saying that and why?
Oh, I think the units knew that we were coming.
What would you be sorry for?
That was the impression. It's often it's an expression in the army. You'll be sorry. Anyone who volunteers.
So what were your impressions then of the camp in Gaza?
Well, it's all very interesting. We were six in a camp and it was bitterly, bitterly cold and the latrines were quite a long walk away. We were surrounded by a 6-foot wire fence for protection and one of our Australian units was just out of Tobruk and they were stationed next door to us. So we could see them in the distance, but we had very little leave to start with.
So what were your feelings then on arrival in this strange land in relation to, well, here you are now, you're involved, you're close to the action at least. Mm. How are you feeling at the time, do you think, about the whole...
Well, just busy and being detailed for duty. And
what did that involve, being detailed for duty?
Well, the hospital was nearby, and we, I forget how we got there, but we would go on duty for different wards.
Let's talk about the situation. You mentioned that there were men fresh from Tobruk.
Mm.
In relation to your medical experience, had you ever been, up until this time, involved with looking after men with military wounds?
No.
What sorts of lectures and that sort of thing had you had in relation to what it might mean to look after a chap who'd been shop, for instance?
Well, we were VADs. We weren't trained nurses. So the nurses had the harder job. And we were the ones who did all the sponges and temperatures and ordinary requirements.
We can talk about some of your duties a little later. Mm. I'm interested to talk about the preparation to be involved and what that meant once you arrived. Were you given more briefings? Were you given more training at all before you were to be involved?
We were given a lot of lectures on different subjects. You know, what the area was like, what was expected of us. And we had regularly had lectures by different medicos.
And what did some of those lectures involve generally?
Well, I think we'd had a lot of lectures before we left. So the main duties were looking after the boys, following the nurse's instructions, and just general nursing.
Can you describe the hospital to us?
It was tented. They were all tent hospitals we had. And it was bitterly cold at night time. But I think it's pretty mundane, you know, the work we did then. There weren't a lot of battle casualties at that time.
What of the situation in relation to going on leave once you arrived? Did you have much opportunity for that?
Yes, we were entitled to... we had a day off. And, of course, you could get to almost any place in a day in Palestine. So we'd make the best of that and be taken to different places nearby, especially Tel Aviv.
What do you recall of some of the sights that you were to see of these places?
Well, we often in Palestine they had some lovely restaurants along the seafront, and everywhere you went there was generally someone who played an instrument, mostly because they were pretty hard up and desperate. But it was very pleasant, like an afternoon tea dance. So you looked forward to that sort of the rest of the week. And there was a yacht club to Palestine where we went sailing one day.
Did you have any fears in relation to your situation? Fears that somehow you might be injured yourself or taken prisoner or get into some kind of trouble because of the war?
Well, we weren't very concerned in the beginning, but when Alamein was on, there was a very strict security and we weren't allowed to go into Alexandria, and we had to wear the Red Cross brassard on our uniforms all day because... But we never had the fear of the Germans taking over as much as we would have had with the Japanese.
Well, that was to be fairly... Well, not much further on the Japanese would come into the war. About a month later, or less.
Yes.
A couple of weeks later, they would attack Pearl Harbor. Mm. But prior to the knowledge that the Japanese were now in the war, can we talk about your recollections of this historic place that you were visiting?
I'd have to sort of and Laos, where I visited from Palestine, and what we did from Syria. But with Damascus and...
What was Damascus like?
Well, it was rather a fine place, I thought. I think that's where there's a street called Straight, and you could get nice materials there to, if you could afford it, because we only got 4 shillings a day in those days. A lot of the girls had their families, they were subsidised, which made life very easier. And there were facilities like ACF, Australian Comforts Fund, homes, where we could stay, which was very reasonable. Which were very reasonable.
How did being in this historic land, seeing strange parts of the world, you mentioned that adventure hadn't been one of your main reasons for joining up, but my impression is that you were having quite a good adventure up until this point.
Well, you couldn't help but that. You could go to Jerusalem and or nearby interesting historical places.
What was it like going to Jerusalem?
Well, it was very, very strange. The Arabs and the Jews seemed to get on quite well there, and we never saw any friction there. So we were generally with Australians, of course, and they looked after us very well.
But there was that risk, wasn't there? The Arabs and the Jews had...
Well, we weren't frightened of them, but we found them an absolute nuisance because the Arabs would steal anything, and they only got caught or got penalised if they were caught. It's sort of a part of their life. And one girl had all her kit stolen completely, and then they, when she wanted to renew the uniforms, they said, oh well, you know, what do you want them for? Because, but they'd steal pillows, even mattresses, and the boys, even though as they slept, they had their guns very tightly secured, the Arabs could still steal them. So it's an art they had. You just felt mad, but you didn't feel so frightened.
Well, you mentioned going into Jerusalem and some of these places, mm-hmm. but a very religious and important place in relation to, obviously, religion, Christ. What do you recall of possibly seeing some of those?
Well, most of them... Most impressive was that they argued about where Christ was buried. There were two convincing arguments as to whether, and I've forgotten the name of the place, or I saw both the places they swore that he was buried, but I still think they know now yet. See if I...
That's right.
If I had a good memory...
That's all right.
I could remember the names or looked up the places.
Do you remember seeing some of the temples?
Yes, we saw... Well, mainly in Jerusalem... We saw a lot there, and the Wailing Walls there, of course, we saw all that. And we stayed in Jerusalem,